practice. Challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep it
clean. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
nice. You are one master whacker, I'll tell you that.
Wow. That's unbelievable. You Hollywood types.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Crude and Dumb.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show, the Joe Biden Hangover from Madison, and Dom joins us. Tune in Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut it.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Well, we have a jam-packed show here, but Haley, I want to start out with Leonard Peltier. They denied parole to a survivor of genocidal Indian boarding schools as he struggles to survive this unjust incarceration. That's from Nick Tilson, Indian Collective President and CEO. What else do we have? This is just, you know, I listened to the show prior to us, and he said that Leonard was a convicted murderer, and that's not true. He was convicted of aiding and abetting in the murder of these two FBI agents. And I always say, well, the aiding and abetting of the murder of George Floyd, those police officers got 2 years, not 47 years.
That's a really good point. And yeah, no, Leonard is not in prison for the murder. He is in there for aiding and abetting. And right. We've had Rachel Dion Thunder from Indigenous Protectors Movement in the Twin Cities here on in the past to discuss kind of like why Leonard's in there in the first place. And when the people who were going to be charged or they were trying to charge with murder didn't end up serving anything. So what was he exactly aiding and abetting? We're unsure. But this is, you know, kind of a something from the FBI or the federal government to kind of show us that, hey, this is what happens when you try to, you know, stand up against us. And this is kind of like a political prisoner pawn situation. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, Elder Leonard is unfortunately still being denied again and again and again.
Well, we thought Clinton was going to pardon him. That's how long this charade with the FBI and the government over Native Americans and especially Leonard Peltier has been going on. Indian Collective also said they will continue to demand freedom for Leonard Peltier as his attorneys file for an appeal on this decision and push for the grant of clemency from President Biden. And that's one thing we really have to talk about. And here's a interesting thing for our listeners out there. If you want to take action and support Free Leonard Peltier campaign, it's hashtag Free Leonard Peltier. And also text Free Leonard Peltier now to 50302 to receive latest updates and join the movement to free Leonard Peltier. So again, this is an upsetting day. I'm not shocked. I'm really saddened that we still have to deal with this oppression through the federal government and all the governments around here. But being a third or fourth class citizen that Native Americans seem to be falling under all the time. And it's a tragic thing. And I don't know, you know, it started, I think, with Wendy years ago saying Free Leonard Peltier at the end of the show. And Haley, I know you do it now. And we really mean it. It's not just words. And pretty disgusted.
Yeah. This whole kind of week, I'm just really disappointed with how things have turned out. But this is coming from Kinship News on Instagram. The U.S. Parole Commission announced that Leonard Peltier won't have another hearing until June of 2026. At the time of his next hearing, Peltier will be 81 years old.
Yeah, definitely. We're sitting here at Native Roots Radio and I guess that's all we can really talk about now. We got our guest on here, our friend Ruth Buffalo. And Ruth, welcome to Native Roots Radio. And I know I just want to say I want to introduce you. This is Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minnesota. Welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Dosha. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we were talking some sad news. I don't know if you'd want to comment or not. With Leonard Peltier being denied parole again, and so it's a sad day here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I agree. For sure. It's a sad day. Yeah, I just felt like I had to leave work early to get out of the office. Pretty heavy feeling, pretty disappointing, and just super disappointing in so many different ways. You know, being a North Dakotan, or what is considered present day North Dakota, you know, the DNC, we put forward a resolution back in September of 2022 that passed the full DNC body, urging Biden, President Biden, to grant Leonard clemency. And then it's just, you know, disappointing to hear that a Democrat, former state legislator who is a Democrat, who is a Biden appointed U.S. attorney representing North Dakota, you know, made it a point to go down to Florida and provide opposition testimony against Leonard's parole. And so just disappointed on so many levels. And where's the justice, you know? It's just disappointing, but it is testament to what many people face and continue to face, especially in North Dakota.
Yeah, and good words there. And it's perplexing. This is 2024. And again, we talked about how he's not in there for murder. It's, and you know, I talked about the George Floyd's people that are in there for the same charge and are only in for 2 years and aiding and abetting. And he's in there 47 years now for the same thing. It's just ridiculous and heartbreaking.
On so many different levels, I think the facts are that, you know, Indians, American Indians, the first peoples of these lands, we continue to be targeted in every level of governments. Incarceration rates show that it's a fact, and that even during the pandemic, we had, you know, tribal elders who were denied compassionate release, you know, and yet others were not, you know. And so it's just unfortunately another example of the ongoing challenges that tribal communities face. And so it's, I think Leonard, one of our visits would say, like, the Indian Wars never ended. Right. And this is facts. This is exactly it. It's the wars have never ended against our people.
Yeah. And it's come in so many different forms, from boarding school to, you know, smallpox blankets. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, we still have that subtle thing going on with sports teams still that have Chiefs and Blackhawk names that really are demeaning and put us down. And it's there for our children. It's there for us to see. And it's a subtle reminder that we're not included. You know, so today's just an example of that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This is more of like a blatant, loud, clear message, sending a message to all of us that, you know, we must be good little Indians and stay in line. And how dare we try to stand up for our rights? And, you know, with boarding schools, relocation, forced sterilization, and many other ways, you know, that continue today through lateral violence, you know, it's all there by design and continues to contribute to genocide.
We're here with Ruth Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis. And we'll be right back after this short break.
News from the center, WRCE.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle?
The answer is that
There has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. And, you know, I can't help but be blue today, but there's things happening. Two, we have to take three steps forward, sometimes take two back. And I know your work with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is something to be marveled at. And let's talk a little bit about that today.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, the staff at MIWRC are amazing and they continue to do amazing work. We have the traditional healing, traditional birthing program that is hosting a sweat lodge tonight in St. Paul. So we have some new staff on board, and it's really beautiful and amazing to have great staff, you know, that are here to assist the community. We just had a staff monthly potluck and staff lunch today, monthly all staff meeting and a potluck. So lots of good things happening, continuing to plug away at fundraising. And I think with the pandemic and the ARPA funds dissolving, it has impacted a lot of organizations nationwide. And so we're trying to meet that, you know, fulfill that funding deficit. And so, you know, calling on all hands on deck celebrities, tribal casinos, tribal nations, community partners and foundations to help us make sure that we can continue doing the good work and serving the community, because we're approaching our 40th year anniversary, September 16th. So please save the date, mark your calendars. We have some amazing lineup of events and activities that day, and looking forward to that. And yeah, we're also starting a community monthly meetings. We had our first one last week. Last Tuesday, it was amazing. And so it's just a time to give updates to the community and just let the public know that our doors are open and they'll continue to stay open.
You know, I always want to bring up, too, how to get a hold of you. And I'm wondering, too, I was thinking of this, too, Ruth, is that do you do paid speaking engagements, too, for Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? Is there a way to get a hold of you for that, too?
Myself? Yeah. Yep. For sure. Yep. Definitely. Yep. Open to that. And yeah, for sure.
And then how do we get a hold of you through Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Yep. You can email MIWRC socials at MIWRC.org.
Awesome. I always want to remember to do that, because that's a question people ask when they say, well, you didn't give the address or the phone number or the website. And I'm going, well, I'm still, this is my first year, 8 years in a row of being a radio host.
Yeah.
Thank you, Haley.
Yep. I'm at rbuffalo at miwrc.org as well.
Cool. And, you know, you have job openings, too, and things like that, to be able to get on there and look it up. It's exciting that you're having a sweat here in St. Paul, too, down the street from me. So I'm excited that that's happening here. And it's just good medicine that you guys are doing and all the things you've been doing for 40 years.
Yes, the organization has been doing amazing work, like you mentioned, for 40 years. And just hoping to continue to, you know, nourish and support the staff and the organization so that it continues to be open seven generations ahead. We just now brought on 5 new board members as well. So the board is expanding. We are, you know, hiring new staff. We'll have 2 new drop-in center staff that will be starting on Monday, July 8th. And for those that aren't familiar, the drop-in center came into fruition after many community conversations that believed there was an unmet need in the community for women who are unhoused and are trans relatives, but we don't turn anybody away. And so you can stop by the drop-in center. I don't want to butcher the name of it, mispronounce it, but it's the drop-in center led by Don LaRock. And many of our unhoused women go there for a safe place, a warm shower and a warm meal, and get connected to resources. And so I had the opportunity to spend some time down there, help out. And so we're working on all of us getting cross-trained. But it's heavy heart work, you know, to not, so it's just, you know, it's a good, healthy, nourishing, nurturing space. And it's hard not to walk away feeling like you need to do more, or you feel just feel for our relatives who are out on the streets. You know, many come there to get a shower, get resources, and just a safe space to be, and a safe space to sleep for a couple hours, because many of the women that come in through those doors have been up all night, you know, without, you know, just for their own safety. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the phone calls that we filled at MIWRC are focused on housing needs. We have a housing manager who helps people with funds from Hennepin County to prevent evictions. But we are working on, oops, did I freeze?
Yeah, just for a second. You're good.
Oh, okay. So we're working on filling or, you know, meeting these, some of the gaps we have in our system that include trying to help people find housing, because that's an area. So we've been applying for a lot of funding, a lot of grants. And so we're hoping to expand our housing program, because there's an overlap in every single one of our programs and departments. And at the heart of it is addressing the social determinants of health, you know, the basic needs, and housing is front and center as one of the top needs for all of our relatives out there. So housing, just really want to stress the importance of housing and public safety. It's interesting because, like, the response time down where MIWRC is located is comparable to, like, res-like response times, which is very slow, you know, which is kind of striking to see in a very big metro urban area, you know. So there's some grave concerns, and we're all trying to help and, you know, amplify and uplift the existing structures and those who have been doing the work for decades, you know, but definitely a need for more resources, for sure.
Definitely. Is there a place where someone can volunteer to come down and volunteer? Because that sounds like a heavy lift for anyone to help our unsheltered relatives. That's it's crazy that this is 2024 and we're still dealing with this.
Yes, for sure. We definitely welcome volunteers. You know, you'll have to fill out paperwork, you know, and kind of go through a screening process, you know, but for sure we welcome volunteers. And we're also, you know, cognizant of not wanting to re-traumatize or re-trigger or remind our client relatives of past traumas too. So we take that into consideration and handle everything that we do with great care. So our staff are super amazing. We're thankful to have new staff on board in the traditional healing program or department to help foster a really loving, caring, nurturing healing space at MIWRC.
Yeah, it's just really good medicine, and people out there, support any way you can to this great organization. Every time I talk to you, Ruth, I hear more the things that you guys do for the community, which is just amazing. And but we need help with funds, and we need help with volunteers. And please, if you feel like helping and volunteering, please reach out. And if you can't get a hold of them, get a hold of us, and we can get a hold of Ruth or somebody at Minnesota Indians Resource Center, Women's Resource Center. And Haley will do that. Ho-wah.
I would love to.
Right on. Yeah. So what, we got a minute or so left, Ruth. Any last words here? Again, it's a sad day, but also, like I say, we have to take two steps back. We take three forward, and the three forward is talking to you and about your great organization and what it does for our community.
Yes, definitely. I think just it's important. You know, my heart is with Leonard's family, his loved ones, because it's, you know, they are directly impacted by this decision. And so it's important to hold Leonard and his family, his loved ones in prayer, and to continue, you know, sending them good thoughts and good vibes and prayers, and to, you know, be good to one another and continue to take action and take courage from where you're at. And we all need to stay united and stay together and continue pushing forward. And unfortunately, yes, I think Indian people are some of the most resilient people on this earth. And this is why. Here's another example as to why. You know, you get the wind knocked out of you, you know, you get knocked down, you know, you get knocked down, but you didn't get knocked out. You know, you got to get back up and continue pushing forward for all of us.
Right on. Hey, thank you so much, Ruth Buffalo, for being on as always. And we'll talk to you really soon. Thanks again.
Yeah, Matsugidads.
We'll see you. Hey, Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after this short break with Heather Keeler, State Representative. Oh,
you're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In an exclusive interview with ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos, President Biden says he'll drop out of the presidential race if God tells him to.
If you can be convinced that you cannot defeat Donald Trump, will you stand down?
It depends if, unless the Lord Almighty comes out and tells me that, I might do that.
Mr. Biden acknowledged his poor debate performance last week, even as he said he didn't remember whether he watched a replay, but insisted his record will win over voters. Downgraded to a tropical storm, Beryl is headed toward Texas after raking over the Yucatan Peninsula, forecast to once again reach hurricane strength. A train derailment and fire in Carrington, North Dakota. Federal Railroad Administration personnel are on the scene. In Iran, a reformist candidate won Iran's runoff presidential election, besting a hardliner by promising to reach out to the West and ease enforcement of the country's mandatory headscarf law. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers hit another grand slam.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers in L.A. for game two tonight. Last night, in the top of the fourth, Milwaukee trailing the Dodgers in L.A. 2-1, bases loaded, one out, and Rhys Hoskins, in a hitting slump, is at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Fly ball deep left center field. It is up. It is going to be gone. Did he catch that ball? No, he did not. It's another grand slam. Are you kidding me?
The crew took a 5-4 lead, but it wasn't enough. The Dodgers came back in the eighth to beat Milwaukee by a final score of 8-5. Did Rhys Hoskins meet in Pat Murphy's office on Thursday about his 0-12 slump in Colorado this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he's got to feel great about it, you know what I mean, to put that good swing on that pitch from a pitcher like Glasnow and give us a chance to win.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Through the afternoon, a mix of sun and clouds with an isolated storm or two and a high in the upper 70s to 80. Mostly cloudy, a few storms tonight, low 60s, and partly sunny and a storm or two again tomorrow, high upper 70s. Isolated storms still possible on Monday, Tuesday. Right now it's 61.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal.
Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Sandwiches are the original fast food. And what could be easier than loading up a few slices of Country Hearth multigrain bread with your favorite deli meats and cheeses, then piling on freshly picked veggies from your garden? Or maybe a good old-fashioned peanut butter and homemade strawberry jam sandwich made on Kids' Choice. This summer, when you're on your way to the lake or park, skip the drive-thru. Pack a cooler full of your favorite sandwiches instead. Country Hearth Breads, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal genuinely of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with our other friend, Heather Keeler, state representative. And did you catch that, state representative? I didn't say state senator or senator or governor.
That. Or any of it. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I always try to give you more credit and what you deserve a lot. And we really love having you on Native Roots Radio. You have a lot of good things to say, and you're very articulate. And I really appreciate you spending time with us, Heather.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You talk about like how I speak, and I was in a conversation with one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about like, especially kind of powwow season when we go back home, you know, there's always that like home slang that comes back out, you know, when we go back home. And then you realize how much we do have to shift how we show up in the world to be able to walk, you know, in the outside world or the off reservation world or the urban Indian community. And it's kind of sad, you know, that I can't really show up the way that I do with my relatives and in my community and probably in my most authentic way. But we have to pull ourselves together because we know that we have to work 4 to 7 times harder than anybody else. And that starts with being able to speak in a way mm-hmm. that sounds like I'm educated, like I know what I'm talking about, because often just being native in these spaces isn't enough. Or if we sound too native, that's instantly connected to being uneducated. Which I don't think is true. But yeah, so one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad that you kind of said that, was this idea of how education plays such a role in our life and how it forces us to kind of shift who we are to show up in the bigger world.
Well, really, really good point too. And it's fun. I was going to ask you before you said that to talk a little native, like, you know, point over there with your lips and, you know, all those things that we do, you know, but it's really good point. And it's something that it definitely is there. And it's fun too, because I don't know, is it a difference between the urban and the res Indian too? Because I know the closer I get to my tribe land, the more resi I get.
Yeah. I mean, I think there probably is. I don't know. I think that's not kind of the, I mean, yes, I'm sure it's all different. It's how we talk with our families and our community. It's just crazy how different we do have to get out in the world. But and I wish our education systems allowed us a little bit more space to be authentic. And that's why, like, I really love our tribal colleges and what we're doing in Minnesota around higher education with our tribal colleges, especially Red Lake. I know we saw you guys at the opening that they had in Minneapolis. But hopefully that starts to allow us to be more authentic in our education spaces in general.
Yeah, and I just have to give you a lot of credit too for what's happening in educational wise, and here with Red Lake specifically. They had nothing, the leaders of Red Lake had nothing but great things to say about you and the support that you have. And it's a double-edged sword, because we need to be in these places, but these places are hard, and how authentic we have to be, like even just in speaking.
Yeah, I mean, the work is really, really hard. I think being a politician in general, or an elected official, as you know, Robert, we talk a lot about the extra stresses it puts on us. But when we're standing up for one of the most vulnerable, most beautiful communities as our Indigenous population, it just is so much harder. And we don't have the longevity in us. You know, I see some of my colleagues that were retired after 20, 28 years of service. Like, there's no way my mental health, my emotional, my physical, you know, self can do that, this job for that long. And so representation absolutely matters, but that means we need to have a pretty deep bench. And that means, you know, we need people now starting to think about how they can step into these spaces of advocacy, because we're seeing in Minnesota, Jamie Becker Finn is retiring. And those are big shoes, you know, to try to fill. And we are just not sure we're able to do that quick enough as we're in the momentum to really build a robust tribal relations community here in Minnesota. And so if you're listening to this, I kind of always challenge everybody to push outside your own comfort zone, because generations need us at these tables. It's not just for the offense and the fancy bills we get to carry. It's really about the defense and what we have to do to protect our sovereignty, what we have to do to really protect who we are as a people, as a whole. And so I hope at some point, in some place, in some area of Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever our listeners are, you see value in maybe stepping up and having some courage to run in these spaces that we absolutely need you to be in.
Well, that goes back to, you know, it was, we talked about this before when we were doing the COVID stuff on Sundays, the Sunday symposium, and all these great leaders across the country were coming on, and there was rumblings about a person named Heather Keeler who was thinking of becoming a school board person, and everyone was excited when they heard that you became run for state representative. I remember that, and we got you on, I think, the next week. But how exciting for us, and what was that process, and how can we duplicate a process like that where we can get more young natives in the political realm?
First of all, I appreciate the reference to me being young. I'm going to hang on to that, because some days, you know, I'm not feeling that young. But and I also maybe wouldn't use like my example as the footprint, because it was by total accident. Honestly, like, I was just an advocate in my community. I was an Indian education liaison, trying to go to school to do something bigger in the world. I knew that I had to be at tables, and I had to have educational degrees to do that. And so I was going to school for my master's in educational leadership and did my practicum on barriers to academic success outside of academic rigor. And that's where I started to listen to my community and find out that lack of representation, homelessness, and food insecurities were a major issue in Moorhead, and went in and thought, I'm going to run for school board. And I tell this story a lot, and it's such a crazy, silly story, but there was just some white guys that were going to run for the House. And to be honest, you know, I'd never been invited to the Capitol. I really had not known what the difference between Congress and my state rep and what city council did. Like, nobody really talked to us about what those roles were. But I knew that my community had said to me months earlier that representation mattered. And I sort of figured, you know, I have a high regard and appreciation for white straight guys. I just think we have enough of them in the political landscape that I thought I should maybe at least run so my community had an option to vote for a woman or an Indigenous person. And then I won and the reality kind of kicked in. And, you know, it was hard. It was hard to navigate. But I feel like after 4 years, I know where the bathrooms are. I know how to navigate my mental health a little bit better. I know how to travel back and forth and take care of myself. And so I feel like I'm setting myself up to be a little bit better. So the Heather I was on those symposiums, I've learned a lot and actually love to mentor incoming individuals who are considering running, because I think we need to have honest conversations about this work rather than glorifying the power piece of it. But really the presence to be able to show up for our people and our community is the beauty in serving, I think.
I'm going to say this out loud, and I've been thinking about this as we're talking about it. Our friends at Native American Community Development Institute, who really support a lot of organizations through grants and things like that, needs to probably reach out to Two Feathers and and really partner in that mentorship and get more Native and women elected. And I know that's part of your deal, and also them, and we can get you two groups together and really do some damage here. And we still have time. We have like 4 months before the next election.
Yeah. You know, I think honestly, some of it even steps back to like encouraging people to expand their education in where they are, because, you know, you have to learn and really be able to understand the solutions to the issues that we're advocating for. You know, it's one thing to yell around about something we don't like. It's another thing to deeply educate yourself about the economics around it, the impacts on it, the long-term impacts on generations. And so I think when we go to school, it expands our brain to think a little bit differently, and it allows us the opportunities to end up in spaces that maybe we wouldn't have been in if we stayed in our circles. And so I think advocacy and standing up in spaces like this also means we need to explore the opportunities of higher education. And I know money is always an issue with that. I know I'm sending my son off to college, but there's tons of scholarships and opportunities for Native students to go to school. And I just want to also, you know, encourage that we look at that and how we can expand our intellectual knowledge to enter into these spaces with really brilliant solution-focused ideas.
And it's a thing that's been happening slowly over the years. You know, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't have as many educated doctors, lawyers, and mm-hmm. teachers like we do now. But it's still slow moving. And I agree 100% because I come from the education realm too. And it's so important to have students, one, see somebody like you or Lieutenant Governor that look like them in leadership roles. I can't say that enough.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, like, I love when we have tribal schools or tribal programs come to the Capitol to spend time with us. And I will always do my best to clear my calendar to spend time with youth, but particularly Native youth, because I talk a lot about what the invisibility of us does to us in spaces. It subliminally tells us we don't belong. So, you know, I never saw teachers who looked like me, which told me I could probably never be a teacher or a doctor or different things. And so being able to tell my story with our kids really allows them the ability to see us in these spaces. And I remember there was this little girl, she was like 8 years old, and was so excited to be there. And she was like crying in the corner. And I went over and I talked to her, and she's like, "You look just like all my aunties, but you're doing this really cool job." And I was like, that's exactly what this is all about. Right. I've always said I wanted to do the work that the little version of me probably needed in the world. And so those moments, though, they're kind of far and few, they're so powerful. And kind of the reminder that though the work is really hard, we're doing it for the right reasons.
Well, that story gives me a big smile, and that's part of having the show and listening to people and leaders like you that have stories like that, that really, I'm sure, hit the listening audience too, because that, I'm a little teary-eyed after hearing that, because that makes all these things almost worthwhile. I know you have a lot of separation from your children when you're in the Twin Cities, and those things that are hard, you know, not just the work part, but the emotional part.
Mm-hmm. I say often, I think the people who get overlooked the most as I get thanked for my work is actually the sacrifice of my kids. They, you know, though we talk about it and they think it's really cool, you know, they miss out on mom time for me to go do this work for other generations. And so I just want to be better at acknowledging my kids. Gosh, now you're gonna make me emotional, Robert. Make me talk about my kids, but also acknowledging the sacrifice that they do for the work of Minnesota.
Well, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, who I believe is probably a really cool mom. And so we'll be back and talk a little bit more with the State Representative. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
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 Did you hear me? I joined.
Yes, I could see it too on the other screen. I saw your neck went up like a wolf. I saw that.
I had to play the whole part. I had to make it sound the best that I could.
Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler. And Haley, I want to ask you something now. You've been with Native Roots Radio for well over a year. You know, what do you think of Heather? I mean, we always get excited when Heather okays a spot on Native Roots Radio because we know it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. I just got to say, the first time that I met Heather Keeler was at probably the MMIR something event at the Capitol. And that was the first time I heard her speak, as well as State Senator Mary Kunesh and Jamie Becker Finn, and all of our Native voices were there at the Capitol. And I mean, Heather's speech, I remember, just really stood out to me, and it really pulled on those heartstrings. Just kind of relating stories and all of that. And then coming, you know, getting to know Heather over the year. And, you know, she's just real and she's authentic and she's honest. And I think those are more of the type of people that we need in spaces that represent us and speak for us with, you know, other stuff going on. And I'm just really, really thankful to know her. And representation does matter, because I never considered running for office or even thought about it. And, you know, I was like, that's never something I would do, never in a million years. And then, you know, I see Heather do it, and it's really inspiring. And it just, you know, makes me feel like someone like me can do that too.
You know, one of the things I like about Heather too is that we're acting like Heather's not here right now. We're talking.
Oh my gosh, this is like the hardest thing to sit through. It's like I'm getting
compliments. Well, you are what you are who you are. You know what I mean? There's no fakeness to you, and that comes across. And I just want to say this. We got a few more minutes, and then I'll hand it back over to you, Heather. I just want to say this. There was one time at the Capitol, and I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago, that you said something during an MMIW speech, and it hit me, and I've been trying to quote you for these years about you telling your kids that you would never leave them. and what that meant. And it had to sink into me to go, oh, well, that means, you know, people disappear and then the police say, well, they're probably out, you know, with their boyfriend or drinking, or they're leaving, they're sick of what's going on there. And they make all these excuses that aren't real.
Mm-hmm. You know, media plays such a big role in the narrative of who we are as Indigenous people. It's one of the reasons why I love Native Roots Radio so much, is because we get to speak our truth. We get to talk about really who we are and how we live in this world. But yeah, I it was very clear to me as I started to travel, because again, I travel 4 hours one way to go to work. And I had worked in the MMIW, MMIR space prior to being elected, and had seen on a very regular basis how the media spins the story very differently. And I often go back, and when I'm in my Two Feathers world and I'm talking about it, I talk about Wyoming, because that's actually where my mom's from. We're from the Wind River Reservation. We're Eastern Shoshone. And the amount of Native women who individuals who went missing in 10 years was hundreds. And one gal went missing, and like the whole world went missing looking for her. And she was Gabby, and blonde haired, blue eyed, mm-hmm. you know, gal. And not that we don't need to look for everybody, but why aren't they looking for us? Why isn't the media telling our story? And when the media does, it's often late. It's often around a narrative that's untrue. You know, they look at our maybe hard times in our life. And 20 years ago, we were an alcoholic, and I'm sure they went back to alcohol, or, you know, they went with mm-hmm. unsafe people. And so I had to make a very public statement that if for some reason I ever went missing, do not ever let my kids believe that it was a choice, because I would never choose to not come home to my kids. It's, you know, I work very, very hard, but at the end of the day, I always come home to my kids. And I never wanted the media or anybody to ever try to convince my kids that, you know, I chose to leave. And so I think more of us need to stand up for that. And I think we need to say that more often in more spaces, because if you listen to the narrative, often there's a misleading story behind it. And it dehumanizes us in a different way. And I don't like that. And I work really hard to try to create our epidemic in a way that is meaningful. And so, yeah. And I get a lot of feedback about that statement, actually, over the 4 years that I've been doing this work.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I would never leave you. And that, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I blacked out after that, because it hit me. I'm an emotional person. And it was just like, oh, absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when I read those stories, you know, I always think about the people that are left behind, and the people that are looking, mm-hmm. and the people who never give up and love them forever, that the narrative that it was a choice for us not to come home is just so far from the truth. And we're a very loving community, and we love our relatives. And I think we need to acknowledge that better.
Yeah, you mentioned this too, that segue into that, to Two Feathers. And I always want to give Two Feathers a shout out too, because give out the information to our vast listening audience and people listening to us and watching us on Facebook and YouTube, and we're on X too. I just wanted to say that we're getting a lot of people nice. Watching us on that dreaded X, which we used to call whatever it was.
Formerly known as.
Yeah. Right. How can we get a hold of you with your work and talk a little bit about Two Feathers?
Yeah, it's fun because Haley and I were talking about this, I think, last week, or I don't even remember. You know, the path kind of back to like, who is just Heather? I think in the last couple of years, because I was never, the goal was never to be a state representative. I actually like, it feels so far from the norm of who I am. But it's a title that gets, you know, taken into consideration a lot in my life, and really trying to figure out like, who am I? Who is Heather again? And, you know, I worked in Indian country for 25 years before ever being elected in areas of education and healthcare, community engagement. I've been doing educational trainings for adults in those spaces, because often we know that the K-12 system does not educate us on the Indigenous history very well. Then we become adults and we make decisions in the world around education and healthcare, which are treaty rights that impact Indigenous people. And so I go out, and the main thing I do is I have a 1 hour or 3 hour keynote or workshop that's Indigenous 101, all the things you didn't know in K-12. And it really is a basic level overview of who we are as people, what the history is and some of our current issues are, and the reality of the timeline. I think often people assume these stories that we talk about, I'll use boarding schools as an example, is people think these are like 400, 500, 600, right, 700 years ago, you know, and the reality is like our uncles, our relatives, people are still alive who were forced in boarding schools. And so that's what I do. I love it. I love being a keynote speaker. I also do motivational speaking because, again, I think I've gone through a lot of pain in my life, as many Indigenous people have, to find a purpose to give back to my community. And so I speak about that in a empowering, emotional, and motivational way.
Facebook and email address, or Facebook
twofeathersllc.com is where you can find me. That's where you can send requests and we can chat about pricing. I'm pretty reasonable and I work with all organizations because I think education is power.
Right on. Well, thank you so much, State Representative Heather Keeler. We and I know Haley and I are always excited when you can make it on here because we know it's going to be a great show, and then I don't have to work that hard. Oh,
yeah. And then Haley and I get to hang out soon. Yay. See you in a little bit.
Yeah, right
come
on.
To the Red Lake powwow this weekend. We'll be up there.
I have FOMO.
Yeah.
I have FOMO.
Yeah, you should. We're going to have a blast.
All right. Cool. Hey, this has been Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, Heather, hold on. Can you hang on after the show? I want to ask you something.
Sure.
All right. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
So I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us. Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden sat for his first television interview since last week's debate. Some Democrats have called on him to step out of the race for a second term. ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos asked,
if you can be convinced that you cannot defeat Donald Trump, will you stand down?
Well, it depends if the Lord Almighty comes out and tells me that, I might do that.
Biden asked if he had taken a cognitive test, said no, and that every day is a cognitive test. But multiple sources also tell ABC that House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries is holding a meeting with ranking members tomorrow, with the president expected to be a focus. The Texas Gulf Coast preparing for Beryl. It's now a tropical storm, but expected to regain strength over the Gulf of Mexico today. And arraignment set for today in New York City for the man who drove into a group of people celebrating the 4th of July in a park. Three people were killed, eight were hurt. Authorities say the 44-year-old driver was drunk. This is ABC News. Stevenson. Extreme heat in the West intensifying this weekend, and that includes at a national park where the heat is often an attraction.
On Sunday, Death Valley has a chance of hitting 130 degrees. If it officially does, that'll be the hottest temperature ever reliably recorded on Earth. Park rangers warn visitors to stay away when it's that hot, but they flock to Death Valley to experience it and get a photo with a giant thermometer. The rangers have told us, you're on your own.
We will not do a search on foot for those people until it cools down below 120 degrees.
And if somebody needs a medical chopper, the air is too thin in the heat to get helicopters in. Alex Stone, ABC News.
An Arizona woman reported missing last week by her husband. Daniel Patakowski said his wife Kelly never returned from a run and swim on Sunday, but police quickly suspected foul play. And Friday, just 6 days later, Patakowski pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. He'll be sentenced in September. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water garden?